Well, please do sit down. And if you could find in your Bibles that reading that we had from Isaiah just a moment ago and turn back to that. I'm going to spend a little bit of time looking at those words of the Bible. Now, here's a tricky question. Does anyone know what day it is tomorrow? Tomorrow is Monday, the 4th of August, 2014. So there we go. I've sort of answered the question. But does anyone know what special day, what special event is being marked tomorrow? Now, it's a tricky question. So here's the first clue. And it's not an easy clue, partly because you can't really see it. It's a field of poppies in northern France. Okay, here's another clue. Britain declares war. Does anyone know what day tomorrow is? Yeah. The anniversary, the 100th anniversary of the First World War, when this country entered the war. On the 4th of August, 1914. And for the next 4 years, there was fighting that continued all over the world. And during that time, during the First World War, from 1914 to 1918, 16 million people were killed all over the world as nations fought against nations, and people fought against people. Now, I've got something here from the First World War. I don't know if you can see what it is. It's not immediately obvious what it is. Would anyone like to come up and help me show everyone else what this is? Any takers there? Russell. Yeah. Ross, come on. Now, feeling strong? Good. If I take this off, there's a bit of a clue already. And come and just stand here. Now, if you hold it like that, okay, because what happens is it gets longer and longer and longer and longer. And then have you any idea what that is? What is it?
A telescope.
It's a telescope. Brilliant. And this is a telescope from the First World War. And the idea is if you look through it, do you want to have a go with that? Have a look through. Does everyone get a lot closer?
Yes.
Brilliant. I'm so glad you said that. And this telescope, do you want to hang on to it, Ross? There we go. Brilliant. You need to put sunglasses down. Just stand there for a moment. This telescope was from 1915. It's got a date on it, and it's such a small date, you wouldn't be able to see it. So there's a hopeless photo on the screen. It's from the First World War, and it's a British Royal Navy telescope that would be used for not making people in church look bigger than they are, but finding enemy ships. Now, I've got some more war stuff here, not from the First World War. I need three people to help me show what we've got here. Yeah, Jess, do you want to come? Brilliant. Ethan, great. One more. One more. George, great. Good stuff. Here we go. Now then, what have we got here? Let's start with a nice, easy one. Okay, Ross, you stay where you are. Jess, do you want to hang on to that? Do you know what that is? It's a spear. It is a spear. It's not from the First World War, because I only made it yesterday. But there we go. There's a spear. There's one thing. Now, here's a really hard one. Better give this one to George. George, any idea what that is? It is a shell. That's very good, wasn't it? That's not an easy one. It's a shell case that would have been put into a cannon that would have been fired to kill people. And that's one that's been used, like a big bullet for a big gun. There we go. And then the last one, probably this is quite easy as well. Do you know what this is, Ethan? a sword. And do you know what you do with a sword? You draw it. So should we draw it? Ross, you might just want to step back a little bit because I didn't make this one. This is a real sword. There we go. Look at that. That is a real sword. You're quite pleased with that, aren't you? Now, that blade hasn't been sharpened, but it is quite pointy. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put the scabbard back on like that. There we go. Great. Fantastic. So we've got here lots of war things. We've got a telescope, and we've got a spear, and we've got a sword, and we've got a shell casing. And they're all things that are used in war. They're all things, actually, that can be used for killing people. In our reading from the Bible, we read about some of these things. I don't know if you spotted that. If you want to have a look back at page 687, that's it, Ross. If you just want to hang on to it, that would be a real, real help. Have a look with me at verse 4 of our reading. It says this, God will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. It's a picture of the future, and it's a picture of heaven. It's a picture that God gave to Isaiah. And he's saying that in heaven, there won't be any of these things that are used in war, because there won't be any war in heaven. It'll be a place of peace. So there won't be any telescopes. So I'll have my telescope back. Thank you very much. There won't be telescopes in heaven. You can go and sit down. Thank you, Ross. Brilliant. But there won't be any shell cases either, George. So you can go and sit down. I'll have my shell case back. But I don't know if you noticed that the other two things here, the spear and the sword, were actually mentioned in our reading. It says in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, they will beat their swords into plowshares. Now, I don't know if you know what a plowshare is. It's the thing that is dragged behind a tractor that makes up the plow when the farmer is plowing his field. And it turns out that plowshares are really difficult to find in Fulham. At least I haven't managed to find a plowshare. But the closest I could come was this shovel. You could do a bit of digging with that, or at least moving the earth around. So I'm going to swap your sword, Ethan, for a shovel. How do you feel about that? Yeah. And the Bible also says there'll be no spears in heaven. Do you see what it says about the spears? Their spears will be beaten into pruning hooks. Yeah, see, pruning hooks, a lot like plowshares, are not that common in Fulham. The closest I could come was this pair of loppers, which is pretty good for doing some pruning. So I'm going to swap your spear, Jess, for some loppers. There we go. That is, just come and stand over here next door to each other. That is the picture of heaven that we're given in the Bible. It's a place without weapons. It's a place where everyone will be safe, where there'll be no killing or people being killed. It's a place instead where things can grow and things can live and thrive, not a place where things die. It's a wonderful picture of what awaits in heaven. Thanks, guys. Why don't I grab those things from you, and you can go and grab a seat as well. The Bible speaks of heaven as a place of peace. That's the promise of the Christian faith. And that's really important that we hear that and remember that as we remember the First World War 100 years ago and so many millions of people who lost their lives all over the world. It's also a really important promise to remember, the promise of peace in heaven, as we think about all the wars that are happening right now, today. Right now, as we're sitting here in church, all over the world, war is happening. People are being killed. They're being killed in Gaza. They're being killed in Syria. 11,000 children have been killed in Syria in the fighting. They've been killed in Iraq this morning. They're being killed in Ukraine. All over our world, it's full of war. Nations fighting against nations and people fighting against people. People killing and people being killed. So it's really important and really good news that the Bible promises us, God through the Bible promises us, heaven without war, without any weapons, without any killing, no swords, no telescopes, no shell cases, no spears. Heaven without anyone being killed. It's a great promise for a world like ours, so full of war. And that's why the Christian message is so often called good news. But do you see, according to this promise, how we get to enjoy this peace in heaven? Do you see how God makes peace? Have a look again at verse 4 from our reading. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Do you see how God makes peace? He will judge between the nations and settle disputes. See, the way that God makes peace in the Bible is not by waving a magic wand and just making everything all right magically, like in a fairy tale. Nor does God make peace by pretending, sweeping all the difficulties and disputes and arguments and wars of this world under the carpet as if they never happened. The way that God makes a lasting peace and brings it to this world is by judging this world, bringing his perfect justice to this world. And that is great news too. The only problem is, with God's way of bringing peace, that when God does that, when he brings his perfect justice to this world, every single one of us won't be good enough to share in that perfect heaven. Now, very few of us here, I would imagine, have been involved in war, in killing people. Hardly any of us. But which of us has never had a dispute or an argument? Everyone knows what that's like. And wars are just big arguments on a big scale. All of us know what arguments are like in our homes, in our marriages, in our families, in our schools, in our places of work. It is great news that God will bring peace and justice to this world, but that all the wrong things that have happened will be sorted out. It's what this world needs more than anything else. The problem is, we're all part of the problem. We're part of what needs sorting out. If heaven is a place of no wars and no arguments and no disputes, then if we were to go there as we are, we'd spoil it. And for some of us, that wouldn't take very long. The only way for people like us to be able to enjoy heaven like this is not by trying to be good enough for heaven, not by trying to be more peaceful than we really are. The only way for people like us to get into God's perfect, peaceful heaven is by God forgiving us through his Son, Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to remember that that is exactly what God offers us through the death of Jesus Christ. As we share bread and wine together in a moment, we'll remember that that is the way that people like you and me can find a way into a perfect heaven. But before we do that, we're going to pray together. And you can find the prayer that we're going to pray together in the order of service. If you have a look with me, it's on the bottom of the inside second page. It's called a prayer of confession. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the beginning of the First World War, the 100th anniversary. And as we remember that war and those who lost their lives in it, this prayer that we're going to pray now reminds us that we're a part of that. We're a part of the problem, and we need God's forgiveness in our lives too. So let's take a moment of quiet, maybe to think about the arguments that we've been involved in just recently. The disputes that maybe still are going on in our lives, to recognize that as we are, we don't belong in God's perfect, peaceful heaven. But through Jesus Christ, he can bring us there. Let's take a moment of quiet and then we'll say this prayer of confession together. Together we pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.